Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic for this week?
Well, in some of the coaching that I've been doing recently, I think some of the biggest challenges that I'm seeing once you get a job is just reminding the individuals that your first 90 days are pretty darn important. And what today's discussion is supposed to be is to help those individuals who are starting a new gig, kind of diverting them from that mindset of settling in, not making waves, let's see if I can fit, is everything going to be okay, to really owning your new role. And how do you balance that? So to frame the topic, I want to remind folks that if formally, even if it's not formally noted, the first 90 days is a probationary period. A lot of people call it a honeymoon period, but it's a probationary period. And it's not just for the person who just joined the team. It's also for the company. So the person who just joined the team should be considering how that company is going to fit in their career trajectory, while the company is also supposed to be assessing how well that new employee is fitting into their long-term growth plans, et cetera, et cetera. So again, the goal is let's shift your mindset from, whew, so glad they picked me, into a, let me decide if this is the right place to help me continue to move forward in the career path that I have chosen. So I'm going to start by asking, team, when you hear honeymoon phase for someone starting a new job, what comes to mind from a recruiter's perspective?
Well, I think it's really more of a honeymoon trap. just a honeymoon phase. I mean, you should have already figured out that this is the job that's going to be leading mm-hmm. you in your career trajectory.
I agree.
Too early to say that word. But at the same time, this is a time where you're starting to get to know the team, and this is where you're determining if it's going to be a good fit. So just imagine this is your first day. You're getting your laptop, you're getting all your system accesses, you're being introduced to the team. So for a week, it kind of feels electric and like you're ready to conquer this job, the job that was sold to you during the interview, the job that was sold
That's
to you
the
when
key
you applied
right there.
Online.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, but keep in mind that you're assessing them, but also your hiring manager is watching you especially hard right now because they want to see if you're really who you said you were during the interview and that you are who you are through the resume that you submitted as well. So you don't want to waste your chance to shine and show that you are worth the offer that was given to you. But you need to keep in mind that you're training as well. You cannot mm-hmm. go into a new job and think you already know better than anybody else that's worked there for years. Mm-hmm. You need to go in there with a thoughtful pattern to show that you are trying to absorb. So it really is the first 90 days are an audition for both sides. It's not a vacation because, again, the hiring manager is trying to see if you're a good fit. So I know one of the things that a hiring manager will worry about is when you look too busy, but you're too quiet. So I'm wondering if you're understanding what you're being trained on. So I wanted to ask the team, it's like, what do you think are some early red flags when we see someone who is too quiet in their first month?
What, whenever they like join us or whatever, or mm-hmm. if the client's coming back and saying they're awful quiet?
Uh-huh. It's like, what do you worry about when somebody comes in and they're just quiet? They're not forming relationships. And I mean, what do you worry about with those candidates?
I would say they're just not connecting with either the team. And it's difficult for them. And it could be, you know, their personality, you know, they're at first they could be observers and then just to see how the team is operating. So they don't feel like they're like being a nuisance or here, let me chime in, although no one really knows me, kind of being of that observing standpoint. Mm-hmm. But if it comes to a point where like, okay, now you're like being too quiet, or you haven't even interacted or tried to chime in during meetings or huddles or whatever, then you do have to start questioning like, are they happy here? What is missing? Is there something that they are not seeing that we told them about and they're kind of confused? So it's more of having a quick one-on-one with them to see how they're feeling. Are they getting along with teammates? Are they understanding what needs to be done? Kind of getting a feel of the culture of the team or the workforce, or, you know, where they're working at the moment. So it could be a challenge to determine right off the bat if it's something that they're unhappy with or they just don't understand. Or it could be to the point where they're just being observant in the beginning, just to kind of get a feel of how things are working there.
Really good point.
I think for me, I worry less about whether they're quiet or not, but whether or not they think they already know everything. Because you don't know what you don't know at a new company, new SOPs, new everything. You want to be the sponge, and you want to make sure that you're communicating, I want to learn, throw it at me, let me try to tackle it, but also communicating what you don't know and that you don't know, rather than I'm more worrisome about the new hire who says, oh yeah, I got it. Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. No problem. You know, who's not asking questions, who's not inquisitive, who's not trying to learn more, who just pretends like they have it all together. Cause either they're that 0.01% unicorn who did just get it all on day one, or more likely they don't know what they don't know. And if they're confident that they already know everything, that's a little worrisome to me.
Because what a bad position it is for that hiring manager to be in.
Well, I will tell you, I mean, as the owner of a company, people who are hired that don't ask questions scare the bejesus out of me. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how seasoned or how experienced you are. It's a new environment. It's new methodologies. It's a new approach. Even if you already knew how to walk on water, my water is different than everybody else's water, and I need you to be asking me questions about it. And I think that's really key, too, is just asking a bunch of questions. Just don't ask the same questions over and over again.
That's the point.
So, but those are good points, because from our side of the table, that's making us think, uh-oh, this person's not going to stick. If you're always looking in confused, or you're asking very inexperienced questions, it just leads us to think that they may not make it.
Mm-hmm. And Jenny, I think this segues in kind of into what you were looking to cover as well, isn't it? On that first 1 to 30 days.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, even though the whole first 90 days are important, you can kind of break it down a little more. And if you take those first 30 days, that's really a great time where it's kind of a listening phase for you. You're kind of trying to learn and soak it all in. You can really focus on learning the unwritten rules, like the culture of the company, how the communication works, the power dynamics. I saw one article that called this time sponge mode. You're really soaking in everything you can, just doing your best to learn all about the company. And of course, like we mentioned earlier, you still don't want to be invisible. So if there are some little quick early wins that you can have during that time, that's great. For example, maybe you see a process that's kind of difficult for everyone and you already have a tracker that would help with that. You know, share that with your team and help them solve a problem. It's a great time to really become proficient with the company's software and systems and really get those down so you understand how it works. And, you know, still, like we said earlier, even though you are like learning, still participate in the team meetings and be visible. Don't just sit there huddled in the corner. So let them know you're there, you're interested, you're learning, ask your questions. It's also a great time to kind of figure out who the stakeholders are who are most influential in your success at the company. So, of course, your manager would be one of those, and it would be a great time to kind of meet with the manager, clarify with them their expectations, their communication style, understand his or her priorities. But it could be other people as well. So maybe you have a colleague who the boss always listens to. You know, that might be a big stakeholder and is influential in your success. Or maybe there's a coordinator at a site who's the key to the data there, and you want to build a good connection with her. So it's a great time to kind of start building those connections and showing people that you're trustworthy, you're reliable, they can count on you, kind of a way to start building those relationships from day one. And a couple things just to kind of watch out for during those first 30 days is you might not want to make any major changes immediately. Like we were talking about earlier, you don't know what you don't know yet. So you might want to still be learning and holding off on making big changes. And another thing to kind of watch out for is during that first time where you're still learning and trying to figure things out, don't overcommit yourself. You want to show you're a team player. You want to help out where you can, but also be aware of what you can do because you still want to be able to do everything well and show that you can do a great job. So you want to make sure you don't overcommit either.
Yeah, undercommit and overdeliver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love this. Whenever we bring on a new individual, I think one of the things that a lot of companies fail to think about is the language. Every company has different language.
Mm-hmm.
In IBM, we used to call it the alphabet soup. You know, you had all of these acronyms and all of these initials that meant something. Well, the new person doesn't know what the heck these things mean. And writing it down and having some type of a scheduled appointment or even an informal appointment to where at the end of the day, you kind of go through and say, okay, what does this mean? And what does this mean? Or we talked about this during the morning huddle or the meeting, and I didn't really understand it. Can you explain it to me? And so you're not taking up the rest of the team's time, but you're asking those definitions, if you will. So you're starting to learn their language. It's like speaking French instead of English. If you don't understand French, you've got to start learning the language a little bit too. I think that's a good thing to do in the first 30 days as well. And companies, you should offer that to your new team members. You know, let's have a real quick huddle at the end of your day. What did you learn? What did you have questions about? Do we need to repeat something tomorrow? Or, you know, those types of things too, to help keep you on track.
And the next phase that you can kind of break up the 90 days into is phase two, or the contribution phase, usually between days 31 to 60. So you've been at your job for a hot minute or two. You might know something, or you can at least try to explain to your hiring manager. At this stage, it's really important to clarify your role and your assigned tasks. Assign tasks with your leaders so you're locked in on where you should be. This is also a great time to bring up any feedback you'd like to discuss. You know, there might be the formal 90-day review, but also it's important to not start forming any bad habits, and you want to make sure that you're doing the best that you can for everyone on the team. And it's also important to self-evaluate at the end of the day. Is your workload too light? Is it too heavy? Not every employee is the same, so making sure you're talking to your manager about that. And also, if you want to start taking on more projects, if you think that your workload is a little light, you can help out that way, and then just make sure that you're able to manage it amongst your other tasks, though, that your manager gives you. Your main tasks are important, and it is nice to help out when you can, but make sure that you're still focused on your own tasks. And one thing that I have a little story about was, I think it was maybe the first 3 months I was here in my position, and I was like, okay, well, I'm ready to do something new. You know, I've been loading in candidates for a minute. I'm ready to do something. And, you know, they were like, okay, well, we can start, you know, you sourcing Savannah. Just, you know, ask one of the sourcers where you can hop in. And I'm like, cool. And I'm like, let me start texting the candidates. and everyone's face, there were smiles, but everyone's face was like, how do we tell her absolutely not without telling her absolutely not? So don't take it personal if you want to try something new and you're not there yet, but you'll get there someday. So it just takes time, but I really like the contribution phase. It's fun.
And you know what? You did really do a great job with that. What I loved about how you and everybody on this team is so fabulous, but I remember specifically you saying, I can take on more. And I love that, because when you are starting a new gig, it's not always clear what the priorities of all your tasks are. I mean, you can learn this laundry list of tasks, but how do you understand that task three is always going to take priority over tasks one and two? I mean, how do you know that unless you start asking those questions? And you did a really great job of that. When do you raise your hand and ask for help? Because the urgent has taken over the important. Because that's the other thing you have to learn within the first 90 days is there's always going to be a lot of urgent work, but how important is all the urgent and where does it stack up and how do you prioritize? And so keeping that communication line open is really important. You did a fabulous job of that. And the great thing about that is that helped us to continue to layer things on you to where Carrie and I weren't worried about overloading you because we knew that you would raise your hand once you reached that point. And it's great because you got to learn more than if you hadn't said anything at all. So I think that's worth to note.
It really did make me trust you more, a lot more, Savannah, because you're like, I can take more. But I did get to a point where I was starting to get worried. I'm like, okay, she really should be overwhelmed right now. So what are you? Just make sure you ask for help when you need help.
And, yeah, for sure.
Because we really need to know that.
But I do love your story, though, Savannah, because I feel like that would lead into the next phase, which is phase three, the ownership phase.
Stay tuned for part two on how to position yourself for success when you start a new job.